The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised. As he said, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Grace and peace to you, beloved, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Now, in some Gospels, this Sunday morning trek to the tomb includes spices and a burial ritual, an anointing. But in Matthew's Gospel, the women go simply to be there. They want to be near their friend and their teacher. They want to be near their Lord. Maybe the reality of the last days is finally settling in. The meal and the shouts, the angry shouts that day from the crowd and his death. Whatever they were thinking, whatever, it was brave and it was risky to go to the tomb where the guards still stood watch. But I suspect they needed to go. Like the widow who finds themselves at the cemetery, at the graveside of their beloved at lunchtime, unwrapping sandwiches that they brought from home, needing to be there. To remember, to sit, to pray. Some years back, just before Easter, the Frogtown neighborhood on the north side of St. Paul was rocked by murder. Three in one place, younger people, all of them. The neighborhood was reeling. Fear and grief. What would come next? What would come next? North Emmanuel Lutheran Church is just three blocks from where the murders took place. And though the congregation had had very little contact with those who died, their pastor back in those days had been part of the funerals for them. But what next? What next? How could a congregation heal? How could a neighborhood heal? And how does a congregation respond genuinely and honestly to such heartbreak and such pain in the community? And then they began to wonder, what would happen? What would happen if this year we moved Easter outside of our building? And so they did. They moved Easter outside. They gathered at the church that Easter morning, and then they took the cross and their hymnals and the bread and the wine, and they walked out the church doors and down the block and down three blocks to the front of the home where the murders occurred. The doors and the window of the home were all shut tight. They were scared. Who wouldn't be? The congregation, right outside on the curb, began to do church. They sang, and they prayed, and they read the Easter gospel, and they proclaimed the word, and they shared the holy meal. And as they prayed and sang and ate and drank, slowly people began to peek out of their windows. And a few began to open up their doors, and some even came outside and came to the curb and joined them. On a cell phone, one man said to another, "Come now, there's a church here in the street doing church." Even members of the families who had lost loved ones ventured out that day. As the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. They went to the cemetery. They went to a place that reeked of death, and they found life, new life, unexpected life, resurrected life. Now, I have just a few points today, and that's the first. Dear friends, it is tempting, very, very tempting to live Easter lives, never venturing into the graveyard, never peering into the tomb, never crying at the cemetery, jumping right over Good Friday and all our own grief. But the new life always, always begins at the tomb. It doesn't stay at the tomb, but it begins there. Now, some tombs are literally graveyards, but others we pass through and may not even recognize as tombs. The battle with depression and anxiety, a waiting for an uncertain diagnosis, or justice denied again. Can we go on, we wonder, our world wonders, in the face of such pain, such violence, can we go on? Yes, cries the angel, yes, as God rocks the world again. Don't be afraid, my love is stronger. My love is stronger than your fear. Don't be afraid, my love is stronger. And I have promised to be always near. Don't be afraid, my love is stronger. My love is stronger than your fear. Don't be afraid, my love is stronger, and I have promised to be always near. Join me, sing with me, Zach will help us. So the angel meets Mary and Mary at the tomb. Don't be afraid, the angel tells them. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go and tell them. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He's going ahead of you. And they do go quickly, and they do tell. Matthew tells us they left with fear and great joy. Did you catch that when I read that? Fear and great joy. Isn't that an honest tension that these women hold within their bodies, that they carry along in the tone of their voices as they go and relay that message? Fear and great joy living at one time. Fear and great joy. That's the second point I hope that you'll carry with you today, that fear and joy are linked. held together, pushing and pulling within our very hearts by their own tension, propelling us into new life. Fear and joy. Fear and joy. New life, Easter life. In a week and a half, a beloved member of our congregation, Ann Kreider, will begin a pilgrimage. She is walking the Camino de Santiago. It's a pilgrimage walked by millions over the centuries. She's going to begin on the French side of the Pyrenees, and she'll walk west into and again across northern Spain, hoping to be at Santiago de Compostela right around Pentecost in early June, and then the Atlantic Ocean just a few days later. What a journey. What a journey for Anne, and not just a journey that's walking, but really a journey of the heart and the soul and the head. She's been sharing her plans and inviting our entire community to ponder our own sense of pilgrimage. Next Sunday, our church will pray Godspeed for Anne. We'll send her off with our prayers as she begins her journey. She told me recently, "I'm so excited and I'm so afraid. I'm so excited and I'm so afraid." Doesn't that sound familiar? A lot like Mary and Mary, with their honest mix of fear and great joy. And really, isn't that how it is with most journeys, when we're honest? Whether we're embarking on the Camino, or picking a major, or nearing graduation, or retirement, whether we're holding on to hope for children, or living with bodies filled with sickness, or aging, or getting honest about an addiction and the real ways it's affecting a relationship, our lives. This journey into new life holds at once fear and joy. Fear and joy. A couple of months back, our congregation became a sanctuary congregation, declaring our partnership with immigrants and others to resist unjust immigration policies and to offer our building, really to offer our community, as a place of holy sanctuary for those who may be facing deportation proceedings. As you can imagine, that decision has awakened in many of us the understanding of our own privilege that we take for granted so often. And it's heightened our empathy and our advocacy as we widen our congregational family, as our arms grow wider. And at once, it holds the tension of fear and joy. Fear and joy. As Mary and Mary left the tomb that day, there was Jesus. There was Jesus standing there alive and greeting them. It turns out, you know, that Jesus knows the cemetery. He knows our cemeteries better than we sometimes can believe. "Do not be afraid," he tells them. "Don't be afraid," he tells us. Let's sing again. People of God, Easter people, today's gospel begins at the cemetery, but it doesn't end there. It begins in every nook and cranny of our lives and our world that is dead and dry and hopeless and seems impossible, and it begins in our grief and our uncertainty about what next. Is there more? But it doesn't end there. It ends with an invitation, or really, it might have been a command. To Mary and Mary, to us, go. Go and tell, Jesus says. And that's what I leave you with today. Go and tell. Go and share what you've experienced. Go and share how resurrection life isn't something that we must prove, but rather it's a promise from our God, whose love is stronger than our fear, stronger than death. And it's a perspective. It's a perspective that we can live today, but every day. Every single day, risen, risen, risen. Amen.